copies of which are available at the registration table. This brochure contains an overview of the process and other information pertaining to what happens before, during, and after a public hearing. As information, all public hearings are digitally recorded and will be part of the public record. Should you have any questions after the public hearing is concluded, please contact the City Clerk's Department at the number listed in the brochure. And our hearings tonight, first of all, we have item numbers 1 and 2, a combined hearing. Item 1 being a subdivision and rezoning at 3977 Portage Avenue under file DASZ 43 of 2011. And item 2, which is a variance at 3977 Portage Avenue under file DAV 176258 of 2011 D.
Before you begin, my apologies, gentlemen. I'd like to introduce the members of the administration who are present. We have James Veach, Michael Robinson, and Kim Rabin. Thank you for all being here. I'd ask that you begin your presentation, and if you could to try to keep it to about 10 minutes, and we'll hear from each application. So if you can start by stating your name and address for the recording.
John Pearson, 1355 Taylor.
And Justin Zarnowski, 1355 Taylor.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Presentation will be a combined presentation for the rezoning subdivision and variances all together. I understand that the applications show up separately. The name of the development is Westport Festival. It's a regional mixed-use development. The team of consultants, developers involved, but Shindico as a developer, Stantec Consulting of the Transportation and Municipal Engineering, consultants, AMEC, Earth and Environmental, other geotechnical and environmental soils engineers, and Pollock and Ryder, the land surveyors. The site is 43 acres. It's vacant land on the north side of Portage Avenue, Trans-Canada Highway, west of the perimeter between Racetrack Road and Camp 92 Road, as illustrated on the plan, and the area. Few related similar developments that Shindico has done. I'm going to show you a few because we're hitting on multiple uses. We want to illustrate the fact that we have experience in various areas. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Corral Center in Brandon. It's 470,000 square feet, 39 acres, similar size. The anchors in this location are Walmart, Supercenter, Home Depot, Safeway, etc. There's a few pictures from that development. St. James Station, right across from Polo Park, 260 acres, 20 acres. The entire Home Outfitters Best Buy Future Shop are the anchor tenants in this location. A few pictures of that development. Crossroads Station, 700,000 square feet, 62 acres. Home Depot, Real Fan Superstore, Walmart, Home Outfitters. Pictures of that development as well. This one is a flex space development, 130,000 square feet in Regina. The major occupant is Staples, they have a call center and can have some warehouse flex space. This is some pictures of that development. 1355 Taylor, that happens to be the building where we have our offices, secure office development, 1.5 acres. Shindico and Stantec are in that building. A few pictures of that. Polo North, which happens to be a development that we're under construction right now. 300,000 square feet, office, retail, restaurant, 8 acres. Western Financial, CGLB, are occupants on that site adjacent to Silver City. It's a mixed-use development. Shows you the development. Waverly Plaza.
Could you show that picture back just quickly?
Sure. That one?
Yeah.
So what's under construction there is this building here.
Yeah.
Western Financial, CGLB, probably restaurant there, retail here, and Silver City. Next one is Waverly Plaza. It's a 91,000 square foot retail, industrial building site, so it's a combination of retail and industrial on the same site, 11.2 acres. Storage Vale is the occupant on the site. Westport Festival has very unique neighbors as compared to many other developments you might see within Winnipeg. We've got the Red River Exhibition Park, 450 acres to the north of us. Festivals, fairs, events, large trade shows, RV park. We have Point West Auto Park with 16 automobile manufacturers. It's the largest auto mall in Manitoba. Assiniboine Downs, largest horse racing complex in Manitoba, live thoroughbred racing and year-round conventions and trade shows. MTS Iceplex, 172,000 square feet, two levels, Winnipeg Jets practice facility, four NHL-sized facilities with seating. And I also stress that we do not have adjacent residential, which is very unique to developments that are typically in Winnipeg. Westport Festival development concept. What we're proposing is a very unique, multi-use regional destination. 600,000 square feet, 43 acres, expandable to 70. The types of uses that we're proposing on the site include hotels, entertainment, including theater, retail, restaurants, financial, light industrial, equipment sales, office, institutional, outside sales. Site plan that we conceptually have come up with at this point. Changes will occur through time. We're also proposing a servicing plan that was done by Stantec, and we're utilizing City of Winnipeg Municipal Services. Services will also be coordinated with the Red River X to the north of us. Stantec are our consultants for this, and they have submitted the plans to the city. Vehicle and truck access will be off Portage Avenue, both at Racetrack Road and Kanemantu Road. We do need to enhance the signalized intersection at Kanemantu Road. We've had discussions with the city, but more particularly in this case with highways, regarding the types of things that are necessary there and some additional supplementary information that they've requested that Stantec have provided and are continuing to provide. Portage Avenue can handle the volumes of traffic and truck movements that we are proposing. The traffic study that was prepared was submitted to the City of Winnipeg on August 22nd, and on ongoing consultation will occur. Design features, we want this development to be very attractive, we have themed building design, detailed entrances, landscape islands and secondary corridors that will have very hardy trees and shrubs, bus access through the site, bicycle parking, and themed accent lighting. Show us a few examples of some other similar settings and the types of enhancements we're proposing. Design guidelines. This will be a very unique multi-use regional destination that requires flexibility. That's why the developer is committed to working with the city on design guidelines on a collaborative and transparent process. The guidelines that were submitted as part of Appendix D are not entirely appropriate, as there are certain things in there that are suggested that aren't necessarily in keeping with the type of development that we're doing. But I think in order to keep the process moving along, we can work towards acknowledging those and realizing that there are certain ones in there, like clock towers and bus stops within buildings, et cetera, that aren't appropriate in our situation. But in general, what the city is trying to do is itemize a series of general guidelines that we should be thinking about. And so at this point, we'll move the process along, acknowledging that that's their intention and with their understanding that some of these we may not be able to achieve. city approvals that we are requesting is a rezoning, Westport Festival Plan Development Overlay 2, the PDO 2, PDO 2 with an underlying C4 zoning. This provides flexibility in the build-out of the site. It's required due to the special size and context of the site in relation to the types of uses and neighbors, etc., that we have in this instance. The developer and the city administration have been working very closely on trying to work out the terms of the PDO 2, and we are generally in agreement on almost all matters. There happens to be one item that we would like to see remain within the PDO 2, and the city administration would like to see a slightly different version. So what I wanted to do is explain to you what we're asking for and what they're asking for, and I've got it on the table right here. It's regarding signage. We're looking for 8 pylon signs, and they're looking for, or they are considering 6 to be acceptable. We have pylon heights proposed, 4 of them. We would like 4 higher signs along the frontage, 155 feet high, and 4 of them at a lower height, 40 feet. The city is suggesting all 6 be at 45 feet. Due to the location, this is the Trans-Canada Highway. It's a fast-moving artery. We're seeing the signs from a long distance away. We want people to plan their movements well in advance of when they're doing it. And we believe it's safer to have higher signs that are more visible from a longer distance. And we are also doing signage in a collaborative effort with the Red River Exhibition. We would like to have some positioning and our various occupants on the site. Sign surface area, we're asking for that sign surface area at this point to be unlimited. We just don't know what size signs we actually require for 4 of the signs, and 4 to be 400 square feet sign surface area. The city is requesting all 6 signs that they are recommending be at 400 square feet.
John, just a question. So what's in the report is the city's administrative signs, but you guys are asking, you'd be asking for us to amend what the city's proposing with those.
This right here is in our PDO right now.
Okay.
I think by Councillor, we've actually put Shindico's PDO in the report, and the administration's recommending amendments to their PDO.
Okay.
On the signage.
On the signage. Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is generally in agreement.
Yeah, there's only 3 amendments that we're recommending. And you're looking at them. The number of signs, the sign height, and the sign surface area.
So the signs that we want to proceed with will be themed signs. They'll be consistency. They'll be interesting and pull the development together into a common theme, tied in with landscaping, fencing, other things to create a feeling of completeness. Signs that we require are larger on the highway, as I mentioned. The IKEA sign, for instance, is 155 feet, so it's the pylon sign that they have is similar to what we're asking for. The difference here is that we're asking for 4 of them as opposed to the 1. And because the city put an interesting perspective in there regarding sign heights, we sort of put a perspective in there illustrating height of 201 Portage Avenue is 420 feet, 55 Nassau, 354 feet. Statue of Liberty, which they had in their report, didn't show the base of the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty is actually 305 feet high in its complete form. The IKEA sign is 155 feet. The sign that we're proposing along the frontage is 155, and the smaller pylon signs on the site.
John, are you familiar with what the Flying J sign is across the street?
Flying J sign.
It's in Headingley, but it's adjacent.
There's 2 other signs, and I didn't get absolute assurance on things, but somebody who did some maintenance on that sign thought that sign was greater than 55 feet, but didn't know exactly. Right. They were doing some maintenance on it. And then there's a shell sign that's 75 feet. It's in that area as well.
Counselor, if I may, I did check with the planner for Headingley, and he indicated that the sign height on Portage Avenue within the RMS 35 feet. So they may have received variances, but the base height is 35.
Okay. In their bylaw.
Yeah, in their zoning bylaw.
Yeah.
The next approval that we're pursuing is a subdivision, and we're proposing 19 lots. The 19th lot is the roadway. It's Camp Manitou Road, which will extend back to the Red River Exhibition lands. The developer and the city are in agreement with the plan of proposed subdivision at this variance that we are pursuing is to allow for commercial buildings on lots not having frontage on an approved street. So they're landlocked parcels, and we routinely deal with this in our developments, and the way that we deal with it is that we apply a easement agreement to be registered over the entire development, which allows cross-access and cross-servicing to the benefit of all lots. Economic benefits to the city.
John, before you go forward with that, if you could just go back to the map. Nick, one more. There you go. In the previous part of the presentation, you talked about that it's 43 acres right now, morphing up to 70. And where would that take place?
70, the expansion would continue in this direction.
Okay, west to the city boundary.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Capital investment that we're proposing on the site is $120 million. Job creation, permanent jobs, over 1,000. 3 years of construction jobs, site servicing, building construction, using local trades. Tax generation estimated at $3.8 million. Property taxes plus business taxes. In conclusion, we've had extensive communication with the city administration regarding Westport Festival development. Westport Festival is a regional mixed-use development in West Winnipeg with a very unique mixed-use neighbors and proposed uses on the site and no adjacent residential. Westport Festival will accommodate retail, office, light industrial, entertainment, restaurant, uses in a very well-themed and well-landscaped development. Plans are for construction to commence in 2013. We look forward to your support and our efforts.
Thank you very much. Okay, any questions from the committee?
Well, given that it's in St. Charles Ward, I guess I should maybe
ask
jump right in here. I'm glad to hear you talk about it having a theme and that you're, you know, understanding the need for it to have some character, landscaping, those types of things. For me, the worst thing that could be is 80% asphalt and 20% buildings, you know, when you shake it all down and have no topography, visible terrain besides the asphalt. So I know we don't have details on that, but you gave us a sense in the pictures. So that's certainly one thing I'm glad to hear you talk about, and you know, the administration may have a couple of comments on that, but I really feel strongly that that has to be a part of it, and reflect what we're doing in every other part of our city and the other new developments, whether it's Seasons of Tuxedo or, you know, IKEA or South McGillivray, we're asking them to put those kinds of things in. It's going to be kind of an oxymoron in a way, in the sense that to get there, you're going to have a vehicle or some kind of transit. But then once you're there, And I'm thinking more in terms of the people who are attending the Red River X, albeit it's only a 10-day event in June, but, you know, as the X expands, there are always other opportunities, the Blues Fest that they just had. So there's going to be more pedestrians around there than I suspect we can even anticipate at this point. Plus the fact, if we're putting hotels into this property, given the opportunity for hockey tournaments and whatnot at the Iceplex, there's going to be a pedestrian walking back and forth along particularly Racetrack Road. But those same people who will walk to the hotels will walk over to Home Depot or Bass Pro or whoever's going to be there. And I just want to be clear that, you know, this has really got to be pedestrian friendly, because there are going to be lots of cars coming to it. But at the same time, well, I think more than we suspect, we'll have more people walking around out there. So that I don't know if you have an answer for that, John, or yeah.
Well, what we had talked about, Garth from the Red River X, who's actually here today, and ourselves have been communicating on that point, because he would like to see some walk pedestrian movements between the Red River X development and our development. And we have had those discussions. At this moment in time, where we're most comfortable in providing it is along the periphery of the site. Here down towards the MTS Iceplex. This is proposed to be the hotel positioning. And that's proposed to be the theater positioning, restaurants, etc. But the movement along here to the Iceplex, to the Auto Mall, and continuing up into the Red River X direction, as well as up the direction over here. And this site plan that we've got here is very conceptual at this point. It doesn't show landscape islands, doesn't show lots of, this isn't intended to be a landscape plan. I realize James and others here have a lot of background in landscape plans, and we know that we go to those extra levels once we start establishing a site plan that will work. At this point, we can't spend a lot of time with landscape architects when we don't have a site, we don't have the occupants nailed down, and we don't have a site plan that works. Mm-hmm. We fully intend to go to that next level. And the types of landscaping that we showed you in the previous plans here, in our Brandon development and others, are what we're intending to do. We want to create a theme. This is probably a good example to go back and do the kinds of things that we did at Corral Center in Brandon, where we got farm equipment and lots of landscaping. We do have pedestrian-friendly movements throughout the site. Firm that James used to be with was our landscape architect on that site and helped us with the pedestrian movements through that site, etc. And every time you do it, you learn more, and in this case, I understand there will be some pedestrian movements for the adjacent development. We need to accommodate that. Yeah. We want to. Our occupants will want that. You know, they'll demand it. So it'll happen.
You know, we're going to end up rerouting the St. Charles bus or something, you know, to bring it beyond the perimeter highway now, and we're going to have, you know, non-drivers out there, 14, 15-year-olds from, you know, West St. James or coming from other parts of the city, and I know it will be important that, you know, that whether they'll take them or not, that they be there so that they're not, you know, heading across the parking lot.
I probably should have explained the transit aspect. We've been in discussions with the city planning department and transit department to accommodate buses through the site, and our intention is to have that movement occur. And actually, as this road gets built, continue down the Red River X and come back like that. We're intending to accommodate bus stops in a couple of locations on the site. There will be intentions of providing that in here. And we do need to, as the site plan evolves, I think this would be a great spot to have it, somewhere where they come onto the site, they've completed the turn, and somewhere in that vicinity, that would tie into the hotel, some retail,
Just to speak specifically of the northern extension there of Camp Manitou Road or Red River Exhibition Way or whatever it's called, who will build that? Are you involved in
the extension of Camp Manitou
Road? Yeah, from Portage North.
Camp Manitou Road, what we've done is we've left it a separate lot there because I think the Red River X wants to maintain the ownership of that particular lot. We're still working out that detail with them, but that's the impression that I've got. So Camp Manitou Road will be a private road. We'll end up with cross-access onto that road. It'll be a collaborative effort between the Red River X and ourselves on designing the number of lanes that are required here. We're going to want left turn movements and right turn movements and be able to handle the volumes that they need to handle for certain periods of time.
Yeah, the load in particular, buses and whatnot.
Buses and volume.
Trucks, events, even if you've got a major big box there, number H, that ends up needing trailers coming in. It's got to be able to hold the weight.
I envision four lanes at this point. Two out for sure. You might get away with one in, but two out for sure, so that you can properly stack and handle the left turn movements, and allow the right turn movement to free flow and exit the site.
I would suggest to I can't speak for the Department of Highways, but because of my involvement with the Manitoba Capital Region, we're in the process of doing a transportation study. And with the fact that the Headingley bypass is sort of on the drawing board to bypass where the new Centreport Canada Way interchange is up north of Saskatchewan Avenue on the perimeter, that it will bypass Headingley north and come out somewhere out by the jail, that Portage Avenue here will, in fact, over time, slow down. It's 70 now, but I'm thinking that over time it'll become populated to the point where it and with all those trucks coming out of North Winnipeg off Centreport Canada Way and moving west, that they will be slowing some of that traffic down.
It'll become more urban.
Yeah.
And we've had discussions with the highways about this intersection, and they've acknowledged that signalized intersection will remain.
Well, the cemetery across the street, Chapel Lawn needs that. Yeah.
So there's the Iceflex and the Auto Mall and ourselves. But there was some talk about them thinking they might remove it at some point. They made it very clear to us.
So there's no plan at this point to have a service road there parallel to Portage Avenue?
No. We effectively will have one right here, which we're endorsing Winnipeg Transit utilizing. And it's better to get away from the highway before you make a turn.
Right.
So we would rather not have something here, because then it would have to loop back in any event.
If I may add, Highways has said that they are looking at a frontage road, but within the arm of Headingley, so it would start further west.
Oh, okay. Right. It would have to, because the city boundary is the chip shop or whatever, Stephen Nicky's, I think it's called.
Down in that direction. Yeah. They're not asking us to participate in any connection on this land or the expansion.
That's all I've got right now.
Okay, well, if there's no other questions, then we'll go on to the other members in appearing in delegation today. Okay, thank you. Okay, also in support, Brennan Pearson, did you wish to speak? No, okay. Just be recorded in support. Michael Stronger? Garth Rogerson in support. Okay. John Wintrip. Wish to
That's a first.
Hiding in the corner in a public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have in support.
I see
a
guy more
else?
Now that he's not working for the city. Yeah.
Is there anyone else present who is not registered who wishes to speak in support of the application? Okay, there being none, no registered in opposition. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition? Questions for the administration?
No one for information?
Okay, there's no one left. Questions for the administration?
The amendments, the suggestions to the PDO.
Regarding the signage. Did IKEA sort of have a breakthrough and we're going to look at more of the, you know, 155 mark? Is that something you sense or have a...
To put it in context, the bylaw allows 30 feet, right. And the administration is recommending 45 feet. So that's a 50% increase over what the bylaw allows. They're asking for 155, so that's about a 500% increase. Other than the IKEA sign, there's nothing like that in the city. I mean, also, IKEA has one, and they're asking for four. And they also did it by variance, so it required a public hearing process, and we actually had plans at the time that we could evaluate. In this case, they're just saying, you know, we want this, we don't have any plans, and, you know, we don't want to go through a variance process. And what we're saying is, if you want something that high, you should apply for a variance, go through a public hearing process, and submit plans so we have a chance to evaluate the merits of it.
You had a question?
Well, do I have a just sort of staying on that, did we as a committee approve the IKEA?
Well, I wanted to go back because I believe, was it not, I was trying to find the minutes. Did something not come from the developer changing the height? I seem to recall dropping it. Has something been submitted to the department on the IKEA signs and the Seasons of Tuxedo signs dropping the height?
No, I believe originally it was approved. I didn't see anything dropping the height.
Like in the last 2 months, my understanding is something may be coming to drop it by at least a third.
But it was called an architectural feature. What was the IKEA?
It wasn't called a sign per se. It was a beacon, I think is what they called it.
They didn't refer to it as a freestanding sign.
Question. This is because something that Councillor Dorman faces more because he'll have residents calling because it's directly in his ward. But just a kind of a question. Like, what's the harm? Like, I mean, honest to God, I mean, whether it's 45 feet or 100 and whatever they want to post it as. I mean, the reality is you're going to look at it if you're going by 45, and that's going to distract you. Like, are you going to be more distracted if it's higher? Like, I just don't really, there's no residents around that's, like, that would seem to have some sort of issue with it. So, really, what's the harm? I don't really.
One of the things about our zoning bylaws is it creates a level playing field. So everybody has to work by the same rules. Every shopping center in the city, you know, ostensibly has to follow these rules. And when someone comes in and they say they want a 500% increase, but they don't have any plans to show us, it's just really saying to everybody else that you don't have to follow the rules either. So we're saying, you know, if you want to do something different, go through the variance process, show it to us. Right. The property will be posted. People will have a chance to see the plans.
But if they call it a beacon, then it can happen. But if they call it a sign, then they can't. Like, it seems a little crazy to me.
What happened at IKEA isn't necessarily a precedent for this. And there's a few reasons. One is they have one sign. Yeah. These folks are asking for four. Second, they went through the variance and they did have plans. So that's the main difference here.
They did have plans when IKEA was approved.
We had plans for the 155-foot high sign. So we knew what we were approving,
yeah.
Essentially.
And I can tell you now that I have lots of backlash about that sign from the residents. Yeah. But I don't know how many residents are in this.
There aren't any on that side of, you know, the only real estate we have is the permanent real estate across the street. So
They're not complaining as much as you thought.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
how Grant got elected the first time.
Not to belabor the point, but real estate or commercial real estate developers are very competitive with each other. So if we, you know, support this, I wouldn't be surprised if Unicity comes forward or somebody else and says, well, then we want it too. And we don't want to create that necessarily that precedent. It has to be based on merit. And
we're not saying necessarily that at this point it could never happen,
right.
but it should go through the normal process.
That's what we're saying, yes.
And if at that time we decide that would be the appropriate height, then...
Well, that would be a board of adjustment. That wouldn't be through us, right?
If it's within the first 2 years, it would come here.
Okay.
Well, then, you know, I think knowing that for sure, that I wasn't sure how long that gap was before it had to move to the next, the other office, but, okay.
Just one other question. So everything for landscaping and, I know Councilor Norman had a question in terms of the pit, that would sound to make a lot of sense. That has to come back through a site plan, right? Is that right?
Final plan approval would come back to this community committee.
So we could deal with it at that point.
Would the signs be on that too?
Signage is part of the package that has to come back. Yeah, there's a signage master plan.
Yeah. Okay, any more questions for the administration? You want to come back, and you have the opportunity now to rebut anything you hear. You can't add new information at this point. John and John. John Square.
John.
Other than the fact that it's already built into the PDO that we have to come back to you and submit a master signage plan for approval. So it's not just wide open that we can do whatever we want. We have to come back anyway. Regardless of what's dealt with on the height. And we do want to stress the fact that this is a very unique setting. It's a very dark area. It's a very fast-moving area. There aren't residents that are affected by signage illumination. And we want to give people opportunity to see it well in advance of the site. So this is a very unique situation. And I really don't want to be... The bylaw that the city has for heights at 35 feet is just not appropriate in this set. I mean, 35 feet, it would look like a monument sign.
Understood.
So there has to be some acknowledgement of the fact that this is different, and there'll be practical decisions that we make. I mean, you're not going to build something that's ridiculously high if the cost is off the charts. So, I mean, the users, the occupants will, you know, practicality will come into play, and we got to come back to you and show you at that time anyways. But what we wanted to not have to be faced with is coming back here for a variance. Every sign and dealing with this into the future, we'd rather have a signed master plan and show you as we progress. Just like we have to do with the balance of it, bike parking and bicycle parking and...
So if we asked you to put a Statue of Liberty on the one side, you'd be able to do it too as well?
Way too high.
Call from lady, the lady from St. James. That's what we'll call instead of that Statue of Liberty grant.
Well, and understanding too that, you know, this is just a first stop along the way. You know,
yes.
PP&D is next week and EPC, yes. And council. Like, so this, you know, I'm not going to be the first one asking this question. So, I just want to make sure that, you know, we have a, I'm not going to say no at this point, but I want to, you know, default to the, you know, sign agreement that we eventually do have to have some final decision on. So before, you know, we say yay or nay to 155 feet. I'd like to say up to.
That's fine.
You know,
we don't know ourselves.
And that's, you know, I'm hearing this for the first time. So you know.
It's the signage master plan process and site plan process. We'll be back here discussing those things.
I just don't want anybody back here, you know, seeking forgiveness rather than permission. So, you know.
What we want to do is make the committee, this committee, make the decision on it. If you go with the regulations of planners, which I respect, want to go with, then we're going to the Board of Adjustment with a poster on the site. We prefer this committee to make a decision about giving the context around it. And just to note, variances have been granted for signage for in terms of height, square footage. The Unicity Mall has a signage that has been granted of up to over 1,000 square feet. You know the Safeway at the corner of Calgary Drive and the McDonald's, etc. Mm-hmm. They have over 600 square feet of signage just on that site. The C4 regulation is one sign, 30 feet in height for 323 square feet. That's a sign that's 30 feet in height, 10 feet wide. That's like what you find at a Shell gas station. It's actually the same regulation as what you see in a C3 site. So if I had a gas station or the Keg restaurant at the corner of Morrie and Portage Avenue, as a sign, same sign regulations in terms of number of square footage as all seasons of tuxedo, which that required a variance. And that one was granted 5 freestanding signs for over 1,885 square feet. So the regulation for C4 of one sign at 323 square feet doesn't fit the context of a 40-acre site with a number of multiple tenants in terms of square footage. Out on the highway by Assiniboine Downs, across from a cemetery. It's not a Shell gas station on Gordon.
And we're doing our signage in conjunction with the Red River. They will be having some positionings on here. We've already requested that as part of our arrangements with them. And so we need space for them as well. And we want to welcome people from other areas of Manitoba into our city. We want to be the gateway and the
where they get the polo.
Your other guy's saying
that. And I can say that tenant is in conversations with me, and they look at that regulation, and they say that's one of the most restrictive they see across North America, and we will be coming forward likely with a variance on that part for signage, because 323 square feet does not fit a big.
Okay.
For the red then. All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
You're gonna go to the page with the motion.
Yeah. I might need some help. This is where the class part comes in, Paul.
Page 7.
Okay, my glasses are there.
Oh, here. Put on my little granny glasses.
Where are we here?
You're still in the PDF.
You're doing the subdivision and rezoning first?
No, it's probably one back.
Okay. I think this looks all right. I'd like to move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye. I'd like to move that the receipt of public representations be